from Luke 2, 15 to 20. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let's go into Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. It's amazing how familiar the story is to most of us here. And we associate it with our tradition. But I want you to just realize for a moment that this actually happened. There was a baby born, and it wasn't just unannounced, but this was the Son of God born into the world in totally supernatural surroundings. And so angels are sent to make the announcement, but they don't go to the king's palace or to all the influencers and the rulers and the military powers that be. But no, they go to shepherds out in a field, and because God wants the ordinary people to be almost the first to know that the best news ever has just come to planet Earth. There's been an invasion of heaven's love coming to Earth. And so when they go to see what it's all about, they found a baby. And it's amazing how a baby, he grew up, of course, but he didn't really get on with his ministry for another 30 years. How many here can remember back 30 years? I mean, I can't. And, you know, when you get a prophetic word that something's imminent and, you know, the Prince of Peace has arrived and the King is here and all that kind of stuff, you don't necessarily think, yeah, but it's not going to kick in really for another 30 years. And yet in God's economy, that's not a very long time. And here we have the greatest news, the most wonderful news. That's why we're all here tonight. That's why we've gathered, is to say thank you to the one who came as a baby, yet to the one who's always existed. And he grew for another 30 years, making furniture and framing houses and things like that, until it was time for him to step into his anointing, and the miracles began, and the teaching began, and the good news was announced and spread rapidly across the nation and then the whole world. And so here we are 2,000 years later, and it's still spreading throughout the whole world. And it's amazing, isn't it? How many got the article from the Toronto for the National Post? Did you see that about this church on fire here? The guy was here last week taking pictures. They did a great story, really. But their story was not just about us, but about the fact that the Pentecostal charismatic message is spreading throughout the whole world. And everybody's just in shock because it's been under the radar for so long. And it's kind of like the Christmas story, isn't it? People bundle it all in with tradition. And there's this cute little manger scene. And oh, yeah, don't forget Santa Claus over there and all that kind of stuff. But the deal is that God has invaded the planet with the best news ever. Your sins can be forgiven. You can be born again. And you can receive a gift of eternal life and miss the judgment, which is a good thing to miss. How many would agree on that one? And so this child who came actually took your punishment for you so that you can be reconciled once again with a loving God. And so just raise your hand and say, thank you, Jesus. You really came, and you really came for me. And I'm so grateful, Lord. And this Christmas is all about you. We're so grateful. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Oh, come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Oh, come ye, oh, come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of ages. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Christ is the Lord. Yea, Lord, we greet thee, born that happy morning. Jesus, to thee be all glory.
I've been singing on the street in Toronto. And after you do that in the cold, you lose your voice on those high notes.
Yes. We sang for hours all of those songs.
So you'll forgive me for not getting
up
there.
And we had voice to do it that night. So.
Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills, and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. While shepherds kept their watching over silent flocks by night, behold throughout the heaven that shone by holy light. I'm a singing, go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. While shepherds stared and trembled, when low above the earth rang out the angel chorus and hailed our Savior's birth. I'm a singing, go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. I go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Down in a lonely manger, that a humble Christ was born. And God brought us salvation, that blessed Christmas. I'm a singing, go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. We're singing, go tell it on the mountain.
Jesus Christ is born. That Jesus Christ is born.
He is born and he's alive. Why don't you look to the person next to you and say, Jesus is born and he is alive. You know, and that's kind of what we're here celebrating. And so, again, I just want to say it's so awesome to be here with you and thank each one of you for coming. And I just wanted to share a little bit of my Christmas story, because when we went through this tonight and we were reading the scriptures kind of together as a family, this is how we do it at my house, is everybody reads a couple of verses and we share kind of what our most special Christmas moment was. And I grew up in a Christian family, in a Christian home, and Christmas was always that story with the baby in the manger. And it wasn't really until I was 19 that I got to fully discover what Christmas really meant to me. And I was at boot camp in San Diego, and we had just finished the Crucible, which is kind of, they call it Hell Week. It's like the hard week of the Marine Corps boot camp. And I was sitting in this little Anglican chaplaincy, and there was only about 20 of us there. And we were singing Christmas carols, and tears just started to, like, stream down my face as I felt just such a realization that that little baby in a manger that I always thought was kind of cute and, you know, somebody else's baby in the Christmas place was the king of the whole world. And for me, I kind of started looking at the Christmas story from Genesis, because in Genesis, it reads that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and the darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning. And that was the first day. And it's like when you look at it, this is where the whole thing started. You know, even before we got there, God saw that he, 27 verses later, that he was going to make man in his own image. He knew that we were going to fall short of the glory of God and that we were going to sin and that we were going to need saving. And he sent his son Jesus to save each one of us. And so while we're celebrating, you know, the birth of Jesus and the gift that he is, you know, it's the grandness of what it was. It's bigger than we can think or imagine. And, you know, while I was there in that Anglican chapel, I remember thinking, I was like, that's where I first kind of had this Genesis thing where I was like, wow, it really boils all the way back to the beginning. And I was like, well, if God spoke the word and God said, let there be light, and the Holy Spirit was kind of hovering over the waters, and he was there just waiting for something to happen. You know, for me, I see Holy Spirit as like the action catalyst. You know, he was hovering over the waters, just waiting to strike, and he lives inside of each one of us, right? We have the capacity to have Holy Spirit inside of us, and we just love his presence. And in 1 John, it talks about Jesus being the word of life. Because I was kind of like, where's Jesus in this picture? You know, it's like God the Father saw it, Holy Spirit helped make it happen, but where was Jesus? And in 1 John, it said, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our own eyes, which we look upon and have touched with our hands, concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it, and testify it, and proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, and we also proclaim to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And it's like Jesus was that spoken word. In that moment, you know, when God said, let there be light, Jesus was that spoken word that he came. And when God was like, man, my kids need a savior, you know, they need saving. Jesus was like, I am that spoken word, and he came to save us. And so while we're just kind of meditating on it, well, we're all going to, you know, everybody's kind of going home or going somewhere tonight, and we get together with family and we think about Christmas. This is what I think about at Christmas. I think about who Jesus was, who God is, and how they all came together to bring us to where we are so that we can commune with him. And if you're wondering where you're at kind of on that journey, if you don't have that communion with God or you don't understand kind of, You feel it in your heart that you could use some saving, but you don't know Jesus. I'm going to be at the back later, and I'd love to chat with you about it, because that's something that we believe in. We love to talk about here, is who Jesus is to each one of us and how he saves us. And so with that, we're going to wrap it up, because Jesus is a huge gift, and we just love him and his presence. So can we all stand together? We're going to have a prayer together, and then we're going to sing a couple more songs, and we're going to go, and we're going to have an amazing time. And I just wanted to let you know, if there's anybody that doesn't have a place to go tomorrow for Christmas dinner, Paula has helped open a space in the condo that she lives in where we're going to have a bunch of people gathering together for Christmas. And so if you need some place to go for Christmas, Paula would love for you to join them. Tomorrow morning we're having our Christmas service here, and we'd love for you to come to join us then too. So we're just going to close in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for bringing your son. And while these carols remind us of who you were as a baby and who you came, you know, God, let our lives be that light that says, go tell it on the mountain. Let our light shine your love. Let us be examples of that extravagant gift that you made through your son, Jesus. That our lives would just live and shine, that you would shine through us with your amazing love. And so, Father, as we're about to go into this Christmas season, or into Christmas, would you just come and would you fill us with your Holy Spirit? Would you be with us every step of the way? As we're seeing our family, as we're just spending time reflecting on who you are and what you've done to us, Papa, would you come and would you fill us evermore? In Jesus' name, amen. Well, bless each one of you. Have an amazing Christmas. And we're going to sing a couple more songs, but we'll see you all on your way out. Bless you.